Our final oral argument for today is the matter A230814. Kevin Lamont Thompson is petitioner respondent. Tierra Deanna Bunnell, appellant. And we'll be hearing only from appellant. You'll have to have a seat in the back, sir. Are you Kevin Lamont Thompson?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, you can have a seat in the back to listen, certainly. But we'll hear only from appellant's counsel today pursuant to the order from the court, pursuant to Rule 142.03. We do ask counsel to identify yourself for the record when you begin, because we are recording and live streaming this proceeding. And because it's only counsel for appellant, you'll have the initial 15 minutes, of course, but no rebuttal. And so when you're ready, you may identify yourself and begin.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Laura Kwasniska. I'm appearing on behalf of appellant Tierra Bunnell.
Before you continue, I'm going to ask the marshal to start the clock at 15.
Thank you.
Very good. You may continue.
Thank you. Today we appear on a purely legal issue, whether the district court misapplied the law on a presumption against legal custody in a case of domestic abuse. Ms. Bunnell asks the court to find that the district court misapplied the law by failing to apply the presumption against domestic abuse and reverse the district court's award of joint legal custody and award Ms. Bunnell sole legal custody. Today I will walk through Ms. Bunnell's two arguments. First, Ms. Bunnell argues that the district court misapplied the law by failing to consider the presumption against joint legal custody and in fact applied the wrong presumption, applying the presumption for joint legal custody. And second, Ms. Bunnell argues that even if the district court applied the correct legal presumption, the record does not and could not support a finding that the presumption against joint legal custody was rebutted. Starting with Ms. Bunnell's first argument, Minnesota law under Minnesota Statute 518.17 Subdivision 1B9 presumes that where domestic abuse has occurred between the parents, joint legal custody is not in the best interest of the child. Only where no domestic abuse has occurred may courts use the rebuttable presumption that joint legal custody is in the best interest of the child. So where there is a finding of domestic abuse, the courts must use that presumption that that joint legal custody is not in the best interest of the child.
Counsel, I see that in your conclusion you're asking for an outright reversal and award of joint custody of the award and an award of sole custody. But if we agree with you on the presumption, the correct presumption was not applied, why wouldn't we remand that for the district court to apply the correct presumption?
Thank you, Your Honor. We are not disputing any of the district court's findings. We think that the court made its findings here, and we think that even if the court, that there kind of is no reason to send it back for the court to make additional findings here. We think that the court's findings here don't support an award of joint legal custody. Briefly, I'll sort of run through the court's findings here to show that the court made findings that don't support an award of joint legal custody. The court found that a stable environment with minimum contact is beneficial, but the record does not reflect that that is possible. The court found that the parties have an inability to effectively communicate, which of course is key to making joint legal decisions together. The court also found that mother's allegations that father had pushed her in the past were credible. As I'm sure the court knows, where there is domestic abuse, there's often course of control. Mother testified credibly that there was.
Counsel, I just want to follow up on Judge Schmidt's question. So I think his question was, you know, if we were to decide that the incorrect legal presumption was applied, is the correct disposition then that we would reverse outright, or would we be remanding to the district court to apply the correct legal presumption?
We are asking that the court would reverse outright. We think that BLT supports that. The court there reversed outright and awarded sole legal custody there. We think that the findings here support that joint legal custody is not in the best interest of the child and that sole legal custody should be granted to mother in this case.
What do we make, following up those same questions of the, I mean, obviously the judge, as you pointed out, acknowledged the domestic abuse. The problem was, of course, the standard, and in fact, she cited the wrong standard when there's no domestic abuse. But it seems like there are sprinkled throughout some of those findings you're referring to, at least perhaps a hint at why the judge did that, which kind of goes to letting the judge make that final determination. The one in particular I was looking at in A, the court finds that the parents' philosophies are consistent as it pertains to legal custody, but then goes on to the point you just made that they have a failure to inability to communicate. And there's some others kind of sprinkled around that probably could go to either to physical, but also seem to suggest might apply to legal custody, where I think it was G, both have shown a willingness to provide care for the child and aid in her growth and development. So does that kind of change the perspective a bit from a scenario, and maybe this gets again to your recommended disposition, to where a judge perhaps ignored the domestic abuse completely, and yet the record clearly shows it's there, from the scenario where, and that's your second part of your argument, that just there's nothing in the record, because obviously the judge still granted it while still acknowledging the domestic abuse.
Sure. I think that in the court's findings, it shows that because it applied the wrong presumption, it misapplied the facts to the law. I think factor 12 is very key in the court's analysis of this. Mother raised concerns about awarding joint legal custody. Mother is concerned that father's decisions and actions would be based on his relationship with mother instead of thinking about the best interests of the child. Mother testified multiple times where father was resistant to co-parenting due to their relationship. Parties had a tumultuous relationship history, and father's propensity for emotional reactions leads the court to question their ability to effectively problem solve. I think that the court's questioning about their ability to effectively problem solve, which is, again, a key component to legal decision making, where they have to, on a daily basis, think about what are we going to do if this kid has to go to the hospital? What are we going to do about school choice? What are we going to do, if we need to have a vaccine? They are not able to effectively problem solve, and that shows that if the court is questioning their ability to do that, the court should not have granted a joint legal custody in this case.
Well, there's a lot of other findings here that, I mean, the district court, where, you know, we can't find facts, right? And so the district court could use those same findings to say, well, this goes to whether the presumption has been rebutted. And it seems like the court who saw the testimony and made credibility determination should have the first crack at that.
Sure. I think from BLT, we see that we can't infer that the court made those determinations. We can't. In BLT, we see that the court was required to make specific findings, and the court did not make those specific findings in order to show that the presumption was rebutted. And so because the court failed to make those specific findings, we believe that based on the court's other concerns about joint legal custody, we believe that the court's concerns are sufficient in order for this court to simply reverse and grant sole legal custody to mother.
I'm going to follow up with yet another question of why, at least, that seems like our normal reaction, essentially, when there's a wrong standard applied or missing findings, of course, is to send it back. But going back then to the Thornton case, in fact, which analyzed the same provision, isn't it true, if I recall correctly in the facts, that the legal custody was actually granted to the abuser and not the victim? And so doesn't that in and of itself reflect an importance to let the district court make the findings, notwithstanding abuse, domestic abuse, what's the best interest of the child?
Yeah, I think in Thornton has a completely different dynamic than we have here. If you read the facts of Thornton, although kind of on its face, it looks like sorry, I'm trying to remember the names of the parties, but...
Vasquez, it looks like, is the respondent.
Right, so the one party was the abuser, but there was sort of a back and forth of abuse and coercive control in totality in the party's relationship. And so although the one party was kind of named the abuser, the court did find that the party that was named the abuser had a relationship of control and was exerting control over the party that was seen as the person who was abusing. And so that's sort of why the court decided to give custody how it did. And I see kind of our case as a separate case where Ms. Bunnell clearly is in a position where she does not have power, and we don't see that she is exerting power over Mr. Thompson. And so I kind of see that you kind of have to separate those facts from Thornton v. Vasquez. And you see that throughout the court's findings in our case, you see that Mr. Thompson, the court found that Mr. Thompson was absent throughout the child's life and did not participate in her daily care. The court is concerned that Mr. Thompson cannot separate the child's best interests from his feelings towards Ms. Bunnell, and so the court is concerned about his ability to kind of make decisions in the child's best interest. I don't think that...
Counsel, I don't know that that's a fair characterization of the order. I mean, I see in here that there are, while some absence was noted, that when father was available, that he was willing to provide, that he, you know, was sensitive to the fact that the child has eczema and asthma and so on and so forth.
Sure, but in factor six, it says father was also absent for periods of time and did not participate in the child's daily care. So kind of, although he was present for some periods of time, he was also absent. He also kind of has concern. He's also has issues with his relationship with mother and is kind of using that against the child. And in the testimony that at trial, that also came out clearly that those relationships got in the way of his relationship with the child. We think that the findings of fact clearly support that the court used the wrong presumption here, and that impacted the court's ability to make the right decision here. We think that the findings of fact are clear, that the court made sufficient findings of fact in order to support a decision to give sole legal custody to Ms. Bunnell. And so we ask the court to reverse the award of joint legal custody and award sole legal custody to Ms. Bunnell. If the panel does not have any other questions, I will...
I see no other questions. Very well. Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your briefing and answers to our questions. We will now take the matter under advisement. We'll be issuing a ruling that both parties will see within 90 days of today's date. Have a good rest of the day.